a great time of hymns, and we clap, but we're not clapping for the artist, right? We're not clapping for the musician. We're clapping for the Lord because he's doing amazing things in our lives. Amen? Amen. Hey, it is really great to be here this morning. It's great to be back. We really appreciate you guys' prayer. We were able to spend some time with family and mourn the loss of a loved one. And as great as it was to be there and to be, you know, to be able to comfort each other and things, it's so fantastic to be back here worshiping with you guys, worshiping with family. Right now, I want to invite our kids. Any kids, if they're not, looks like they're already gone. They just took off. They see me come and they run. Well, I understand. That's it. They're not running from me. They're running to their amazing teachers. That's what we're going with. I want to share something with you guys that I heard this week, and it really shocked me, and it speaks about our kids. And so just bear with me. This really, it kind of upset me a little bit. It emphasizes why our kids' teachers, so if you are a teacher, it emphasizes why your job is so important. Listen, 93% of kids have developed their worldview by the time they're 13 years old. By the time they're 13 years old, 93% of human beings have already decided what filter they're going to view the world through. That means if we are not, as parents, as a church family, if we are not filling them with the Lord and with a biblical worldview, what worldview do we think that they're going to have? Well, clearly they're going to have the worldview that's being taught to them at school, that's being taught to them through Hollywood, that's being taught to them through social media, right? Guys, this is why it's so important. Our desire, obviously, is that our kids would grow up looking at the world through a biblical worldview, understanding certain things are true about God and certain things are not true about God. But that only happens through our amazing teachers, because our job as a church is to partner with you as parents and as grandparents, as great-grandparents for some of you guys. We partner with you guys, but you guys are so important in developing that worldview for your kids. So let me just encourage you in that, especially those of you that have young kids that you're caring for. You really want them to grow up with a biblical worldview. Amen? All right. I tell you what, I want to encourage you guys, if you are here, if you are online, if you have a prayer request, if there's some comment that you'd like to make, I want to encourage you guys to just write that on the comment card. If you are here this morning and you say, you know what, man, Pastor Billy, after hearing that statistic, I want to help with the kids. I want to help develop that worldview. I want to help teach. I want to help whatever. Then write that on the comment card and I will get you connected to the right person. And listen, these comment cards, I want to just explain a little bit more about what they are. We've had them for the last couple of weeks. These comment cards are a great opportunity, a great way for you to share with me anything that's going on in your life. I know a lot of times it's hard to catch me coming and going. So if you think of something that you'd like to communicate, write that there on the Connect card. If you feel like you can share your prayer request, then I'm going to ask you to write that down. And listen, I guarantee you that we will be praying for that specific prayer request on Tuesdays and Fridays when we meet together to pray in a prayer group. And so please load your prayer request up, because we would love nothing more than to pray with you more specifically. We pray for everybody within the church family, but we would love to be able to pray more directly into your situation, whatever it is that's going on in your life, or even just for you in general. So write that down. Those of you that are online, send an email, comment on whatever means that you're watching us and you're joining us with. And then when you're done, at the end of the service, there's a basket in the back. You're just going to drop that Connect card right in that basket, and then that's how we can connect together. If you don't want to write on the Connect card, if you're like, you know what, Billy, I'm just mad at you, and I don't want you to know anything about me, go ahead and drop it in the Connect card, because we'll use it again next week. So, but yes, please connect with us. connect with me this way. It's just a great way for us to be able to stay connected throughout the week and for me to be able to pray for you guys directly. Now, we've been in the middle of a brand new series called Be the Church, okay? And for the last few years, I've done some sort of series, either Be the Church or We Are the Church, right? And I've done some sort of series that's kind of focused on what it looks like to be part of the church, what the church should be doing in the community, what it looks like biblically for a church, like how should a church function, things like that. This week or this year, we're kind of taking it as what should we be doing as a church, but not in the sense of we have to have a list of things that we have to do, but in the sense of what is our heart? What is our attitude towards various things, right? So a few weeks ago, we talked about our heart attitude, right? And we talked about what it means to get our heart ready for the Lord. And then a couple of weeks ago, we talked about having an attitude of worship, right? Being able to worship together and coming into service, coming into our worship opportunity with a heart of worship and being able to really focus on that. So today I want to continue this idea of gathering together and growing together in the Lord, because we don't exist without each other, right? When we're off on our own, we grow cold, but when we're together, we really are able to encourage each other. And so that's what I kind of want to look at this morning. But I want to keep in the theme of our hearts, because our heart is what the Lord's worried about, right? Our motivations for why we do what we do. So this morning, we're going to look at our attitude of growth. We're going to look at our attitude of growth. What does it mean to have an attitude of growth? What does it mean to be willing to grow? And what does that have to do with anything? That's the question I want to answer this morning. But in order to do that, I have to share with you something else that really troubled me this week. I got some just troubling statistics as I was reading and studying this week. And so something else that really troubled me. We live in a culture right now, and you guys know this. We've talked about this before. We've talked about before how a regular church attendance has basically gone from three times a week to once a month, practically. Like, we've talked about that a little bit, but there's something else that's happened, and it's been happening for a long time, but COVID and the mandatory lockdowns and things like that really fast-forwarded a lot of stuff that was already happening in our culture, right? So back in 2014, there was a book released, and it captured this information from surveys and from current census data at that time, and from a research project that had started in 2007. So this is information. This is going a long time to see all of this information, right? And what they found at that time is that whenever you do a survey, you're typically, or like a census, there's this area where it asks about your religious preferences, right? And there's like Catholic, evangelical, none, atheistic, you know, things like that. And what they found is that the box that was marked none was rising statistically. More and more people were checking that box none. I have no religious affiliation. I don't care about religion. I don't care about any of that stuff. Okay? And here's the thing. Back in 2019, the number of people that checked that box. So in 2014, when this book was released, the box of none was rising for the first time in a generation, right? In 2019, the number of the people that marked the box none was equal to the number of people that marked the box evangelical or Catholic, all three being right around 23%. 2014, it was something like 10%. 2019, we're at like 23%. However, today, 2022, it said that 3 out of every 10 adults nationally, that's 29% nationally, would not identify as any religious group. 30% of our population. So from 2019, it was 23%. In 2022, 3 years later, we're at 29% that would not communicate that they are part of any religious group, any religious denomination or thought, right? I don't know about you guys, but that, I don't feel like that's a very good thing, right? Because, and we see it playing out all around us, right? We see our culture shifting from to a post-Christian culture, right? We used to be a very Christianized culture. Like if you didn't go to church, you were laughed at, you were scorned, right? But now we're moving to a phase of if you go to church, you will be scorned. Like that's the phase of reality that we're moving into. About 20 years ago, author and researcher Tom Rainer, he led a research project, and his findings were in a book called High Expectations. And in this research, they were looking at what seemed to keep people connected, right? Because what happened is there was a generation that that something's changed. Something changed. In the last 20 years, things began to change. And kids that were growing up in church were suddenly leaving church like crazy. And then they were marking, they were leaving evangelical, they were leaving Protestant, and they were marking none, that they had no religious affiliation. So something changed, something happened. And that's what he wanted to kind of find out, what was going on. And so he did this research, and he put it in a book called High Expectations. And through this research, what he was looking for is he was looking for what seemed to keep people connected to the church. What was it that seemed to keep them glued together, right? And he found something pretty glaring. Are you ready for this? This is pretty good. I think, I don't know if you guys might be challenged. I was encouraged. Those church members or those church attenders who were involved in a small group of some sort were 5 times more likely to stay connected to the church. 5 times more likely if they were involved in some sort of small group. Specifically, 83% of the people involved in small groups were still connected to the church 5 years later, as opposed to 16% of people that were not involved in small groups that were still connected to the church 5 years later. That's a big difference. Right, that's a big shift, right? If we want, basically from what we see here, is if we want to stay connected as a church family, then small groups, something, some small connections have to exist, right? We it's been said, other pastors have said something to the effect of church is better in circles than in rows, right? In other words, it's better to be a small family than to be just a whole bunch of people out there in the auditorium. And so that's kind of the idea. Now, here's what's even more interesting, I think. This concept of being together in smaller groups, it didn't start 20 years ago. It didn't start 30 years ago. It didn't start 100 years ago. This concept of being in smaller groups is something that we saw 2,000 years ago, but somehow we changed, we shifted. Take a look at Acts chapter 2. Verse 46. Acts chapter 2. I'm on the wrong page. Acts chapter 2. Verse 46. I'm going to find it. And day by day, attending the temple together and breaking bread in their homes, they received their food with glad and generous hearts. Now, yes, this is a part of a section that we read last week, okay? And we looked at in this whole series is kind of based in this section, in this part of Acts. But do you see what the first generation Christians did? They regularly worshiped together, right? They regularly, day by day, attending the temple. Day by day, they were in the temple. They were worshiping together on a regular basis, day by day. And we talked about that a couple of weeks ago. But they were also regularly in each other's homes, right? Breaking bread in their homes. You see, the early church, the early Christians, they weren't content with just coming to a weekly worship service and then going on about their week. No, they were regularly in each other's homes. What happens when you're in each other's homes? You kind of start to get in each other's lives, right? You kind of start to be able to encourage each other from a personal perspective, not just from a random perspective. Right, you kind of start to understand what struggles this person's going through and what joys this person's experiencing. And you get to be together. You see, for the early church, they didn't choose one or the other. They didn't say, well, I go to the temple once a week, so I'm good. Or they didn't say, well, I'm going to go to small group this week. I'm going to go have dinner with this person, so I'm good. You see, for the early church, it was both large meetings and small meetings that they found was important. In order for growth to occur in this young church with these young believers, with these brand new people that didn't have any concept of what Christian church or Christian life should look like, they needed both gatherings. And if I can be so bold as to say this for a moment here, we don't know what this Christian life is supposed to look like either, right? That's why we keep messing up. Clearly, we've gotten away from this concept of being together on a regular basis in our current culture. That's why so many people are leaving the church in droves. They're just constantly going because they're not connected personally. Okay? And so Jesus knew this. Jesus led this. Jesus taught us how to do this. Right? We see this and these people, they knew Jesus. They knew Jesus by reputation, if nothing else. And they knew that Jesus was teaching things, and they knew that Jesus was doing these amazing things. But there was something really important that they knew that kept them tight, that kept them connected, that kept them not wanting to leave each other's company. You see, they believed in the reality of the resurrection. They believed in the reality. Listen, it's easy for us to attend church and be like, yeah, Jesus, he came back from the dead. He raised from the dead. Praise the Lord. He's so good. But are you living your life like you believe it's actually true? Or are you just saying the things that Christians say? You see, this early group of believers, they believed in the reality because they knew Jesus beforehand. Maybe they saw him die and then he was alive again. So they believed in the reality. And for this Christian community and the fellowship and the unity that they're experiencing, it's not separated. It can't be separated from the reality of Jesus' resurrection. That's what the whole thing was about. But how many times, and I'm gonna press on all of us here for a second. I'm gonna step on all of our toes for a second. How many times when we're together as a group of believers do we acknowledge the reality of the resurrection, or do we just kind of move on about our lives? Listen, I'm guilty of that too. Like when we're together in prayer group, how many times do we say, praise the Lord for his resurrection? A couple of weeks ago, we talked about this larger group worship. And we talked about the importance of being together in a larger group context. So this week, we're going to talk about small groups. We're going to talk about the importance of small groups. You see, for most of church history, there has been both a large group meeting and a small group meeting. Both of these things have occurred. The question is that we have to ask ourselves is why? Why are smaller groups so impactful to be able to connect with people on a more personal level? What is it about small groups, about smaller groups of people that allows us to open up our hearts and share our concerns and be vulnerable? What is it about that that allows us as believers to experience life together? That's what I want to talk about this morning. Now, this morning we're going to look at some additional scripture, but we're also going to talk about some of the practical why. Like, why do we do it from a practical perspective? But first, I want to define small groups, okay? Because small groups means a lot of different things to a lot of different people. So I want to define what a small group is. A small group is any time you have a group of Christians in a smaller group gathering together on a regular basis. Listen, in our church, we have three different types of small groups that happen. We have a small group that happens every other week on a Friday night. We have a small group that happens every other week on a Wednesday afternoon. And we have a small group that happens every Tuesday and Friday as we meet together to pray. The ones that happen every other week, those are happening in people's homes. And then we also have small groups that happen every single Sunday morning that meet in these three rooms. We have all of these different types of small groups that we get to gather together and we get to study and we get to grow together as believers. You see, all of these different types of groups fit the context, fit the definition of what a small group is. And so I know whenever I think of the term small groups, I think of a group in somebody's house, right? Like that's the traditional, that's the thought process. And on Sunday mornings, that's Sunday school, and you don't mix the two things. And, you know, back in the, I'd say, or 2000s-ish, there was like this war between small groups in people's homes and Sunday school. Like some churches said only Sunday school is biblical, and some churches said only small groups are biblical. And what I'm saying is they're both the same thing. They're just in different locations. So we actually have all of it here. Praise the Lord. We have people that are leading all of these different options. So I want you to keep that in mind as we talk through these things this morning. Keep in mind all of the different types of groups that we have. All right, so you guys remember the statistic that I shared earlier about staying in the church. And I'll remind you, if someone's connected to a small group ministry, they're 5 times more likely to stay connected to the church. And when I say stay connected to the church, I don't mean just stay connected to Leaf River Baptist Church. I mean stay connected to the church. It's incredibly easy to walk away from your faith, to walk away from what you believe when you're never around it, when you're never challenged by people that love you, when you're never gathering together with the people that believe the same way as you do. So in other words, if they only attended Sunday morning worship, they were 5 times more likely to leave and be gone. Let that set in. I don't know what everybody in this room does, but let that set in for a minute from whatever stance you are personally in. I'll go further than that, and I believe that those that are committed to a small group gathering are more likely not to just say, I'm not a believer anymore. Listen, there's a huge, huge movement of something called deconstruction that's happening in the Christian worldviews. You've got people that were Christian, like famous Christian entertainers and people that were famous in music and in TV and in different areas, and they are coming out with these huge videos saying that they have deconstructed their faith and they no longer believe that God is real. That kind of thing is really easy when we're not part of a church, right? Because we're not being reminded, and Satan is able to just flood you with thoughts and whatever stuff comes in the way that keeps you away. So it's been said that being a part of a small group is important, right? I'm going to skip ahead a little bit. I got a couple things here. According to Dr. Rainer, talking about small groups, and like I said, I kind of want to talk about the why of small groups. Why are small groups important? What is it about small groups that help us stay connected? Well, Dr. Rainer, in his book, High Expectations, he believed that there were 4 factors that contributed to this growth. And I just want to share what those 4 factors were this morning, okay? The first factor that contributes to staying connected and staying a part of a family is relationships. When you're in a small group together, you naturally build relationships, right? You naturally start to care about each other. Let me tell you about a group that we were part of in Lafayette. While serving in our last church, we were given the opportunity to actually launch a few small groups. We were part of a team, and we were pretty successful in launching groups and getting them off the ground and getting them going. We joined a group first. When we first started attending this church, we joined a group. And I'll tell you guys, I wasn't the pastor at this time. I was just an attender. I had actually just recently left another pastorate. And I was coming from a place of just burned out exhaustion over church. Like, I was done. And I actually remember one day, walking into my small group leader's house and saying, hey, you better make today good because I really don't feel like being here. Like it was his job to make something good, right? But I had this mindset of you know, it's on you, you figure it out. Anyway, so I'm attending this small group for a while, and God, through the small group and through the church family and through my own personal devotions and prayer time, God was able to heal me and bring me back to where I was. And so at some point, I joined the church. We joined the church, but then after that, I joined the church staff, and they hired me as a pastor. And at that time, we kind of decided it was time to start some new church, some new groups. The church was growing, and we needed more people we needed more houses to go to. So we decided it's time to start some more groups. So the first thing that we did is the group that I was a part of was growing, and so we split that group off. And my goal was to attend that group for a while, and then I would raise somebody up within that group, give it to them, and then I would go and I would start another group. That was part of the responsibilities that I had. And so we made some great friends, and we began doing this, and we left the first group, and we started another group, and it was going really well, and so we stepped away from that. And we started another group. And so some groups were great and some groups kind of fizzled out after a little bit of time. But then there was something that we noticed. We noticed that there was a large group of people that weren't connecting to any small group at all. Now, at that time, one of the responsibilities that I had was the youth. I was the youth pastor. I was the connections pastor. I was all kinds of things. And so one of the things my role as the youth guy, I felt it was important to connect with other parents that had teenagers in the youth group, right? And so in doing that and having that kind of concept and this idea, we launched out a brand new small group. We called them life groups, I think. We named them all kinds of stuff. We tried to come anyway. We felt it was important to launch this other group. So we did that. But this time it was going to be a little bit different for us. You see, this time we weren't launching a group in hopes to raise somebody else to take over. This time we were launching a group to be a part of. Like, we wanted to fully dive in to this group. And so we invited them to our house. We didn't go to someone else's house. We didn't meet at the church. We didn't meet at a restaurant. We met at our house. And we began to build relationships with each other. This time, We would be starting this group that we get to be a part of so that we could dive in more into these relationships ourselves. So we invited people to our home and we started building relationships. Turn over to Hebrews chapter 10. We're going to look at verse 24 and 25 of Hebrews chapter 10. It says, "And let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works, not neglecting to meet together as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day draw near." You know, most of the time when we read this passage, at least when I've read this passage, I read it in terms of the large group meeting. Do not neglect gathering together. Do not neglect meeting together. Listen, and that's important in our culture today because we do have so many people that just say, I just want to attend church once a month or once every 2 months or twice a year or whatever, right? And so gathering together in this large group is incredibly important. But what better place can we stir up each other to love and good works than a small group? How much more can you stir someone up to love when you're sitting on a couch right next to them? Or when you're sitting in a chair that's a group of 5 to 10 people? How much more can you encourage that person? A small group is a group of people that are invested in a relationship with each other. And that allows you to be an encouragement. An encouragement that you couldn't be when you just pass by and have a donut together once a week, right? So I want to share with you about this group. The group that I told you Bethany and I started, we began meeting in our home, and within a short time, we regularly were developing these tight relationships. And as a matter of fact, some of them have visited here over the course of the last 3 years. And we developed these relationships while we struggled through life's circumstances. We struggled through the loss of death, the loss of loved ones. We struggled through divorce. We struggled through alcoholism. We struggled through all kinds of stuff that just go on, right? Surgeries and long-term hospitalizations and cancer. And we struggled through all of this stuff together because we couldn't do it if we weren't together. And we had fun together, right? And we had cookouts together. We went to ball games together. We hung out at each other's house and we watched movies together. And we even served in ministry together. It was amazing. You see, relationships that help you grow into the man or woman that God created you to be. And listen, I know some of you are above 20 years old. And you might think, well, I'm already grown. I can't, you know, God's not going to do anything else with me. But let me just tell you, God could still be working on you to develop you into the man or woman that God's created you to be. And so these relationships that we have together, it helps us. And these relationships that are formed in a small group help us grow into that person. So, and I'm going to say some things today. And some of you might get a little bit angry at me. I'm okay with that. I can drive fast. I can't run, but I can drive fast. So I'm going to throw some statements out here this morning. And I want you to hear my heart with these statements and not automatically just get mad at me. Okay, can we agree to that? All right. If you're not interested in a small group relationship, do you really have an attitude of growth? If you're not interested in any kind of a small group relationship, can you authentically say, I'm trying to grow in my relationship with the Lord? It's a question. Another factor that contributes to our growth is ministry. Right, you heard me say that as our group actually grew together, we did ministry together at the same time. But when I say ministry in the context of a group, I don't necessarily mean like the worship team is the group and the whole group is the worship team. That's not what I mean, although that could definitely happen. I'm talking about having a life of ministry together. Meaning you minister to each other when you have a need. Listen, I have had some things happen. I had a surgery a few years ago. And as a part of that surgery, we got home from the hospital. And Beth realized that I was not a 5-pound little boy. And she could not pick me up out of the car. So she had to call people to pick me up and carry me into the house. That's the kind of thing that your small group does really, really well. And then they make fun of you for it, too. that's all right, because that's the relationship, right? But remember that passage that I talked about stirring each other up, that passage in Hebrews that we read a minute ago, about stirring each other up to love and good works? We're able to stir each other up, because you see, when one person in the group is passionate about something, then that passion is stirred up within the hearts of everybody else. And even if it's not something that they physically want to do themselves, they suddenly find themselves deeply caring because a member of their small group deeply cares, because you're stirring each other up to love and good works. Listen, this group that we were part of, after I'd been leading this group for about a year, I realized there was something really missing within our church that we really, really needed. We needed to develop a safety and security team within the life of our church. We had found, I had seen kids running out of the kids' class and like running into the street because parents were just kind of like, woohoo. And so I had seen, we were moving our location as a church building. We had bought a building. However, that building just so happened to be next to a strip club, which typically brings about a certain class of people. And so there was some concern about security, right? And so we decided it was important to develop a safety and security team. And so we did that. And I remember I came into the group one day, and as we were just having conversations and talking, I shared about this burden on my heart, about this idea of safety and security, and it was amazing. I did not ask anyone in my small group to get involved with this ministry at all. We were just praying about it. But the next thing that happens, our entire small group jumped into the safety and security team. Now, some of them were doing other things also, but as I shared my heart, they caught the vision, they caught the passion, and they were stirred up to love and good works. And so they joined. And listen, we had nurses, we had security guards, like that's what their job was to be security guards. And then we just had a bunch of guys who were on fire to make sure our kids and our wives were safe. That's what they were passionate about. And so we had that opportunity, and we were able to build our team starting with that small group. And then it grew from there. But because we were together, we were able to stir each other. Listen, when you get excited about something and you start sharing it with your family tends to get excited about it too. Ministry happens within a group. And ministry happens because of a group. That's why ministry happens, and that's how it happens. And that's because we gain knowledge of the Bible, and we deepen our relationships with each other when we're in a small group together, right? And we become better equipped to live and share the gospel with those in our schools, in our neighborhoods, at work, walking around the street, wherever you are. So if you're not interested in ministering with others in a group, if you're not interested in a life of ministry within the context of a group, can you say that you have an attitude of growth? If you would say, well, listen, you know, I want to grow in my relationship with God, but I can just do that on my own. I don't need other people. I don't need relationships. I don't need to minister in any way. I can just be on my own and I can survive. Can you really say that you have an attitude of growth? Third factor I want to look at this morning is teaching. Teaching. And this is huge because this is incredibly important in our own spiritual growth. We need to be able to teach and we need to be able to learn. When we encounter God's word together, we have an opportunity to share our different perspectives. And you know what? I could read something and you could read something and I could be part right and you could be part right. But if we never talk to each other and share it with each other, then we never know and we never grow. So when we're together, when we're sharing our perspectives, when we're sharing our insights, we're able to more fully understand what Scripture is saying. Listen, I'm in a group. This is a cool group that I joined this couple weeks ago. It's an international Bible study. And so I am studying the Scriptures with people from Africa, with people from Canada, and with people from somewhere else that I don't remember. We've only met together once so far. But I chose it because I want to hear these different perspectives of people that are from all over the world that have been studying the Scriptures faithfully themselves, and I want to be able to learn from others. And so I joined this group. Because whenever we're actively involved in small groups, the more information is retained in our brains. Listen, something I learned while in seminary, actually, and those of you that are teachers or are teacher-minded, you already know this, I'm sure, but when we struggle in our brains, when we struggle to come up with the right word or to come up with the right answer or to come up with the right phrase or whatever it is, it tends to stick in our brain a little bit better. Right? And so as we are having conversations together and we're struggling through understanding it together, it tends to kind of stick. And then we remember it for next time. We remember it as we encounter somebody on the street that maybe needs to hear that particular passage or that particular perspective. We remember it together because we're struggling to find the right words. And when more information is retained, there's more active involvement with that information, right? Biblical literacy is increased. Let me explain what biblical literacy means, because this is something that's incredibly important. Biblical literacy means you know what the Bible says. I don't mean you know every single word that the Bible says, but you know the story of the Bible. How many people in here could honestly say, I know everything, all of the major themes of the Bible? I know them because I read the Bible 1,500 times. Or maybe you're here this morning and you would say, I've read the major stories every once in a while. Maybe you're here this morning and you would say, I read the Bible through every single year. As a matter of fact, if you're one of those that is not quite sure, let me encourage you to join us as a church. We have a Bible plan that you can find on YouVersion that we're reading through together, because it's keeping us on pace to read the entire Bible over the course of the year. And every January, we're going to switch up and we're going to make another one. And we're going to do another one. And we're going to do another one. And we're going to keep on reading the Bible together every single year, because when we know what the Bible says, then I can live what the Bible says. When I know what God says, then I can live the way God wants me to live. But if I don't know what the Bible says, I'm just kind of throwing darts in the air, right? I'm just trying to figure it out on my own. So in the lives of, in the groups, in small groups, our lives are changed because we're actively engaging with the Word of God. We're actively praying together. We're actively connected to each other. So if you're here this morning and you would say that you're not interested in learning in a small group and growing in that manner, do you really have an attitude of growth? Final factor that we're going to look at that contributes to our spiritual growth that we're talking about this morning, and this is going to be maybe a little bit of a shocker, is evangelism. Now, this isn't something that's talked about all the time, although it should be, right? Because what we have is what the world needs desperately. What we have in this room is what Leaf River, what would transform that entire town, which would then transform Mount Morris, which would transform Forreston, which would transform Byron. What we have in this room would transform the world. But in order to get there, we have to say it. We have to tell it. We have to have those conversations, right? But the question is, are small groups really a place for evangelism? Now, I'll say not all small groups are evangelistic, meaning some small groups exist specifically to reach the lost, right? Not all groups are like that. But all groups, I believe all groups or any group can be evangelistic. And I'm going to share with you a story about that. There's a guy named Roger. Okay? Roger's relatively new to town. And Roger quickly joins a church and gets involved in a regular small group, okay? And Roger is seeking to grow. He's seeking to learn. And after a little bit of time, Roger meets Gene at a gas station. Roger and Gene just start chatting at the gas station one day. And then after a little while, Roger invites Gene to his small group. That was a small group that wasn't really designed for new believers. They were kind of hitting some tough stuff, right? But that didn't matter. He decided to invite Gene. And so he invites Gene. And at first, Gene began to come. And he just kind of sat there quietly watching everybody else. And he just was observing. And he was connecting. And he was building relationships over a little bit of time. And then one day during small group, Gene decided, hey, during prayer time, can I say a prayer real quick? And so he said a prayer, and then some time went on, and then one day, In small group, Jean prayed the most amazing prayer. Because Jean, just in the midst of this small group, Jean prayed that God would forgive him of his sins as he wholly surrendered his life. Now, here's what's cool. That wasn't even being talked about that day. There was just a regular old small group. So Jean prayed that God would forgive him of his sins, and later Jean was baptized, and now Jean's whole family attends church on a regular basis. This is a small group that wasn't intended for evangelism. Now, wouldn't it be cool, like, if that wasn't just a story? Wouldn't it be cool if we could say, man, I met Jean, and Jean came to my small group, and we weren't even talking about the gospel, but God was working on his heart, and now Jean is fully committed to the Word of God. Wouldn't that be cool if we could say that, like, as a church? Wouldn't that be cool if we could say that as a small group of whatever small group you're a part of, that you could say, man, people's lives are changing? Well, if Gene was here today, I would introduce you to him. Because Gene is Marcus. Marcus began attending prayer group, a group that's not exactly evangelistic. But Marcus began attending prayer group. And then over time, God was working in his heart. And over time, Marcus finally said, I want to pray one day. And then a later time, his son begins to attend. And then they both pray, Lord, forgive me of my sins. And we're surrendering to you wholly. They didn't talk about this beforehand. God was just moving in their lives. And now we have a large part of Marcus's family that attends. Because of a small group that wasn't exactly evangelistic, but any small group can be evangelistic, right? Any small group, God can work in the midst of any small group. God doesn't always work in our programs. He doesn't always work in the patterns that we want him to work in. So small groups are evangelistic by nature, no matter what kind of small group they are. But if you're not interested in small group evangelism, can you say that you have an attitude of growth? Now, I guarantee there's a lot more aspects of small group, right? We could talk about prayer time of a small group. We could talk about the discussions and how the discussions encourage us. We could talk about different studies. We could talk about reading the Bible together in small group. But everything we could talk about within the life of a small group leads back to an attitude of growth. If I'm not interested, if I don't actually care to grow, then it doesn't matter what a small group looks like. If I do want to grow and I have the opportunity to grow, then I should kind of jump into that opportunity, right? I want to remind you of something else pretty important, though. I want to remind you about Jesus and what Jesus actually modeled for us, right? Because Jesus did things within the context of small groups. Look at Mark chapter 4, verse 33 and 34. It says, with many parables, he spoke the word to them as they were able to hear it. He did not speak to them without parables, but privately to his own disciples, he explained everything. Jesus is teaching in large communities. Jesus is teaching in large gatherings, 5, 10, 15,000 people listening to Jesus at any given time. But then Jesus really dug in and invested in his small group, in those few people that he gathered around. So there's an old phrase I've heard, I've said it before. If it's good enough for Jesus, it's good enough for me, right? If Jesus believed in small groups, if Jesus used small groups, then why shouldn't I? Listen, this morning, I want to ask you to make a commitment if you're committed to Leaf River Baptist Church. I want to ask you to make a commitment to a small group. Remember, we have a lot of different types of small groups. We have small groups that meet right here on Sunday mornings. We have small groups that meet in people's houses. And we have small groups that meet on Tuesdays and Fridays when we pray together, right? We have small groups all over the place, and I have the joy to announce something brand new this morning. I'm really excited about this, but we are kicking off, we are starting a brand new small group in somebody's house. The small group is going to be held at Ian and Christy Zubler's house. It's starting. There should be a slide coming up here if the slide people wake up so I can remember what date it is. Okay. It's starting in October. There we go. October 14th. And it's going to meet every 3 weeks for Bible study and fellowship together at Ian's house. Friday night, October 14th, every third week, and that's because of Ian's schedule. He's got a wonky schedule, but he believes in the power of small groups, and he wants to invest in people, and he wants to build those relationships. And so we're going to start a brand new small group there. So there is a sign-up sheet on the welcome desk, and we would encourage you guys, if you're not part of a small group, this is the best time to join a small group, because everybody's new, right? You're not coming into a group that already exists. Everybody's new. So I want to encourage you guys to get plugged in on that. Or just go ahead and write it on your Connect card. I'm interested in the Zubler's small group, and we will get you guys connected, and we will get you plugged in. Or if you're interested in any other small group, but you're struggling a little bit, then just write on there, I'm interested in small group, but I don't know what that means for me. And let's connect and let's talk about it, and let's get you plugged in to the small group that's best for you. Because every small group's a little bit different. So let's get you plugged in to the group that works for you with your schedule, with your personality, with whatever is being studied. Let's get you connected well. Or if you're here this morning and you say, you know what, Pastor Billy, I kind of feel like I want to host a small group too. I'd love to have a small group at my house. Then write that down on your card too, and let's get you connected, and let's get another small group started, because small groups are where the life of the church really happens. Right? We can all get together and we can have a lot of fun together, right? We can have our potluck meals. We can go to the park and we can have some of the best pulled pork that we've had in years. And we can have a lot of fun. But think about this. When we're having a potluck meal, you're only sitting in one table. You're building a relationship with those people. Imagine if you could do that every week or every other week or every third week. Build relationship with the same people and grow together as believers. I hope I didn't just like shock Christy. She's like, what's happening at my house? that would be like my house. So if you're interested in hosting and leading and being a part of a small group, mark that down. Whatever your current commitment is, if you're ready, then I want to ask you to make this commitment to the Lord. This is between you and the Lord. I will join a small group with an attitude of growth. I will join a small group with an attitude of growth. That means I'm going to dig in and I'm going to actually be a part of this group. Listen, we have the longest running small group maybe in existence through Dan Drodes. You guys have been meeting like 20 years, right? Close 20 years they've been meeting regularly. Like, that's amazing. And that shows that relationship and those connections and that ministry and that worship and that Bible study and that prayer and all of that joins together and really molds together. This morning as we close, we realize our own commitments to the Lord. I want us to take a moment to think about our own commitment to the Lord, your commitment to the Lord. You see, these small groups are just social clubs if Jesus isn't involved. These small groups are just people hanging out to have dinner together unless Jesus is involved. Because it takes the sacrifice of Jesus that gives us the desire to meet together and to grow together. It takes the sacrifice, it takes the reality of Jesus' resurrection. So this morning, now is the time for you to make a commitment, whatever that commitment is. Listen, if you're here this morning and you would say, Pastor Billy, I have never made a commitment to the Lord, then now is the time to make that commitment. If you're here this morning and you would say, Pastor Billy, I've been kind of on the fence about joining the church, but man, I'm in and I want to join and I want to covenant and commit with this church as a body of believers to move forward into the future, then now is the time to make that commitment. Now is the time for you to commit your life to the Lord, whatever that looks like in your situation. And if it's something you're doing for the first time this morning, or maybe it's something you're doing as a renewed commitment because you realize you've kind of walked away and you realize you need the community that happens within a small group to kind of help keep you on track and keep you as a growing believer. Listen, our world, our life, we are inundated constantly with ungodly things. If you're on any kind of social media, you will find yourself begging the Lord to let you be encouraged by social media. We are inundated by things that are trying to take us away from God. So a small group is that place that we can finally connect to that brings us back to God. So if you're here this morning and you're interested and you are interested in making that commitment to the Lord or to a small group, mark your connect card, drop it in the basket on the way out this morning. And listen, this is a commitment between you and the Lord. Now, we hold each other accountable. That's what we're supposed to do. But this is a commitment between you and the Lord. You're not making this commitment to me. You're not making this commitment to LRBC. You're making this commitment to the Lord. And that's important to remember. So let's join us in prayer as we pray together and we're talking about different things and we're going to go out and we're going to have some fellowship together and we're going to go and we're going to have a small group in all these different rooms and we're going to worship together. Let's pray. Father God, you know our hearts. We can't hide it. Lord God, you know what's going on in our hearts and what's going on in our minds. Father God, this morning I ask that you would remove any selfish desires that we have and allow our hearts to be broken for you, to serve you, to worship you and you alone. Lord, encourage us to be a part of a small group in some capacity. Encourage us as believers, Lord, because we need the encouragement of others. Lord, we love you. We give our lives to you. We give our day to you. We give our whatever it is that's weighing on our minds to you, Lord. In your name we pray. Amen.